Our Freilich and Purim, everyone. Thank you so much to the Sterns for opening their home once again to share Torah after Megillah reading. The shir tonight is Linishmas Elio Alter ben Moshe Halevi, and also Avi Mori, Achad Mefraim ben Avram, Nusham Meshav Nalia, and Ganen Shamayla, Mechayel Lechayel. You know, the Megillah in Purim is one of those holidays where you can say that, you know, the essence of Purim is Kabbalah Sator. The essence of Purim is Davening. The essence of Purim is Amuna. And every Magid Shir who speaks about Purim will say, you know, that their topic is the thing that is the central theme of Purim. And Purim is so wide. There's so many storylines in Purim. There's so many deep ideas in the Megillah. And every word of the Megillah, every verse of the Megillah has something profound and different that perhaps we didn't notice the year before. And perhaps we could perhaps add to this list another thing that I want to talk about tonight. You know, we have a Purim like that Klal Yisrael has not experienced in many, many years, where we want to be b'simcha, we want to rejoice, and we want to be happy, but we also know that Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael are nusudim b'tzara, that we are in a very difficult situation, and this Purim currently right now, there are mothers and fathers without their children, there are wives without their husbands, husbands without their wives, and there are fallen soldiers and Rahman al-Islam, seemingly every single day. And it feels hard to be able to rejoice and to have a full Purim and to feel that everything is the way it's supposed to be and that we can rejoice with a full heart. And it dampens the spirit of Purim. But I think perhaps we can combine both aspects of what we're feeling, of our heart beating in Eretz Yisrael and wanting to do whatever we can, and also to reflect on the message of the Megillah. What I want to share tonight is a very beautiful idea that I once heard from a Nakuda. The central point is idea that I once heard from Rav Moshe Tzuriel. Rav Moshe Tzuriel was a remarkable Talmud Chacham who lived in Bnei Brak, and he was a Mechaber of many, many Sfarim. So I want to build an idea that Rav Tzuriel presented, and I want to talk about the central role of Eretz Yisrael in the Megillah. Eretz Yisrael in the Megillah? Eretz Yisrael is not even mentioned in the Megillah. The whole miracle happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. The whole reason we don't say Hallel tomorrow, says the Gemara, is because the miracle occurred outside of Eretz Yisrael. So I want to show you, together with the words of the Maharal of Prague, how, in fact, Eretz Yisrael is a major theme that plays itself throughout the entirety of the Megillah from beginning to end. Now, the Ramban famously tells us at the end of Vayikra that a Jew who does mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael is only practicing the mitzvahs. That really the main place for mitzvahs is Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says the same thing on the parshas of Kriya Shema. The Torah says, "V'samta mestavarai eila." You have to wear tefillin. And Rashi says, didn't we just say before in Shema that you're going to get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and you only have these mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi tells us the reason that we do mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael is to prepare us when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, because really the land of Israel is the place where mitzvahs are supposed to be done. And everything we do here in some form is really a practice, or it's a preparation really to do the mitzvahs in the most complete way in the land of Israel. The whole Torah speaks about Eretz Yisrael. And it would appear that Megillas Esther, which is about the Jewish people in Gullus, is not really focused on the land of Israel. All we know is Hasher Hagla Yerushalayim, like we read tonight, that Mordechai was kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and he left Yerushalayim. But I want to show you that if you pay close attention to the words of the Megillah, and you pay close attention to the words of Chazal, that we'll find that all the events of the Megillah are really circling around and focusing on Eretz Yisrael. Let's begin. Let's talk about the Nishta, the party of Achashverosh, and how it has to do with the land of Israel. Let's read the Gemara together in Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph, on the base. My Dichsiv, what does it mean when it says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Ki lefi melos lebavel shivim shana efkod eschem, after the end of 70 years, I'll remember you. Uchsiv lemelos lecharvos Yushalayim shivim shana. And it also says in Daniel that he'll complete the desolation of Yerushalayim for 70 years. Choshuv, Arbe Mechamesh Nebuchadnezzar. Achashverosh made the following, Belshazzar made the following calculation. There was 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar. Ve'esrim v'slas Avil Merudach. And there was 23 years of Nebuchadnezzar's son, Avil Merudach. And then, Vitarti Didei, and I had been king for 2 years. So that's a total of 70 years. Apik mani debe mikdasha vishtamish behu. So says Belshazzar, who was the king of Babel at that time, we see that obviously the Nebu of Yirmiyahu was wrong. We see that after 70 years, the Jewish people are not going back to Eretz Israel. After 70 years, the Beis HaMikdash is not being rebuilt. So let's make a party, because I'm now king of the world. The Jewish people will never come back to the land of Israel. And this is now cemented my place in history as one of the greatest kings of all time. The entire Suda that Achashverosh will go on to make is a way to embarrass Klal Yisrael. The whole 180 days and the 7 days that follow is one big patch in the face to Klal Yisrael. I'm making this party because your Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and you will never, ever have control of the land of Israel as long as you can remember. That was the entire point of the Suda, says the Gemara. Says the Megillah. Says the Gemara in Megillah. Baharosos Osher Kavod Malchuso. And he showed the wealth and the glory of his kingdom. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Melamed Shalavash Bigdei Kahuna. Achashverosh put on the Bigdei Kahuna. We usually don't draw Achashverosh that way in the Megillah books for our children. I will say, though, it is drawn that way in the beautiful new Koran comic book they put out on Megillah's Esther, which is really fantastic. The artist does this. The artist draws Achashverosh, this big, fat guy who's disgusting and food coming down his face, wearing the Bigdei Kahuna. And it shows you how comical and ridiculous that looks. Our conversation tonight is not why necessarily what was accomplished by that. But what he sees here in the Megillah, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Melamed Shalavish Bigdei Kahuna, Ksiv Hacha, Yekar Tiferes Gedulaso, Uksiv Hasam Lichvod Tiferes. That the word Tiferes and Kavod are applied to the clothing of the Bigdei Kahuna, and Achashverosh put the clothing on. Why? Because it was a big slap in the face of the Jewish people. There's no more Beis HaMikdash, there's no more Gula, there's no more Mashiach, it's all over, and Eretz Yisrael is never going to be back for you. It appears the Jews came to the party, they were not simply on the sidelines, they were actively participating in the simcha of the burial and the hopes and dreams of Klal Yisrael. That's what the party was. This now explains the critique of Chazal. They were punished b'nei shenene mesudaso shel Rasha. They were punished because they went to the Suda of a Rasha. They were punished because they went to a meal? No. They were punished because they went to a meal that was celebrating their destruction. What a chutzpah for the Jewish people. It was a celebration of the fact they will never go back to the land of Israel. And they went to partake in such an event. The issue was not only the interaction with the Goyim, or whether they were having wine from non-Jews, and all those different things. But it was also the desecration of Kvod Shemayin, of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Could you imagine for a moment that Jews went, and they went to celebrate with Hamas, with Sinwar, together at a Suda? Rachman Letzlan, there are Jews who would do that nowadays. It's the same thing. A Jew who goes and marches with the Palestinians and marches with those people who are asking for our destruction, it's mamish the same Avera of Klal Yisrael in the days of Achashverosh, a celebration of the destruction of Jewish people. That was what happened at that time. Look at the burning words of the Maharal. The Maharal writes in the Or Chodesh. The Maharal wrote his Sefer on Purim Or Chodesh, which is a parish of Megillas Esther. Look what the Maharal says. This was in the third year. He thought that he was king of the whole world. He was the most dominant force in the world. The Jewish people do not have a malchus and have a king. I am going to be the king. Whenever the Jewish people have a kingship, whenever we have a government, there's no real malchus, there's no real kingship for the rest of the world. Now that Achashverosh found that the kingship is taken away, there will be no geula, there will be no more state of Israel for the Jewish people. Now, he says, my kingship is complete. Because as long as the Jewish people will never have a government, then I will be the total ruler of the world. Says the Medrash in Esther Rabbah, Baharosu es Osher Kavod Malchuso, when he showed them the wealth and the glory of his kingship, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Simon Amar, Sudas Eretz Yisrael Haralan. He showed them a Suda of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Look at the words of the Maharal again in the Or Chadosh. Rak Zehu Kavod Oshro. What is the glory of his wealth? What does the Medrash mean that he showed them a Suda of Eretz Yisrael? He had a table of kings. Mefarnes hakol. He could provide whatever people wanted. It's a reference to the glory of the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara tells us that on the tables of Shlomo HaMelech, by the Sudas of Shlomo HaMelech, he had whatever a person could want. Any food, any delicacy, any dessert, any wine, anything a person could possibly want to eat. What does it mean that Achashverosh served the Jewish people a Suda of Eretz Yisrael? Ki dafka be'Eretz Yisrael. Only in Eretz Yisrael can we say, lo sechzar kolbo. Only in Eretz Yisrael can a person say that we are lacking nothing. When you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have whatever you need. What he was showing them was, hey guys, you don't need Eretz Yisrael anymore. We're in Galus. I have whatever you want. Whatever you need. We have good ice cream. We have good pizza. We have Chinese. We have sushi. We have fancy steakhouses. Whatever you need. Galat kosher. We provide, you don't need Eretz Yisrael. We're fine here in Galus. Eretz Yisrael is closed off to you. I will provide to you whatever you need. And he showed them a suit of Eretz Yisrael, meaning a complete, happy, perfect life without the land of Israel. It was a display of the dominance and the control of Achashverosh over Eretz Yisrael. You don't need Eretz Yisrael anymore because you have everything you need in Galus. So what are you pining to go back to the land of Israel for? Because Galus is amazing. It's perfect. It's great. It's everything you need. On the other side of the Suda Achashverosh is our hero, and that's Mordechai. On the pasuk of Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan Havira, Ushma Mordechai Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, listen to the words of the Vilna Gaon, an amazing comment of the Gra. Asher Heglam Yerushalayim, he was taken from Galus from Yerushalayim. Amar Khan Hegla Gimel Pamim, it says three times Hegla in the pasuk. Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, Asher Higlasa, Asher Higla again. To show you how much Mordechai longed for the land of Israel. Each time he actually went back to Jerusalem. And each time the Babylonians kicked him out and said, you cannot be here. And it happened three times. It says in the Gemara, he did it against his will, midaito shechazer Eretz Yisrael, mishum kach nigla pam shenis v'kach pam shlishus. Mordechai said, "I need to be in Eretz Yisrael. I have to go back. I cannot be there." And the Bavel said, "You can't be here. We got to kick you out." Three times he tried to go back, and three times they kicked him out. The love of Eretz Yisrael that Mordechai had led him to try and to return all of these times, and his bond to Eretz Yisrael was immensely strong. Look at the words of the Maharal again. The pasuk is telling us he didn't want to go. He struggled to not leave Eretz Yisrael. But Darvas Ainu Roy Litzadik. It's not appropriate for a tzaddik. A tzaddik does not leave Eretz Yisrael on their own volition. A tzaddik only leaves the land of Israel, says the Maharal, because they're forced to leave. When Mordechai is confronted about not bowing to Haman, the Medrash and Esther Rabbah explains, Ma Amar Lahem Mordechai Lamish Amar Lo. People came to Mordechai and said, Madua Tovra Mitzvah HaMelech. Why are you going against the commands of the king? Mordechai, come on. Come on. Just bow down. You're causing trouble for the Jewish people. You're making a scene. You're getting in everybody's way. If you just bow down, it won't bother us. We'll be fine. We'll say to their hair. Everything will be calm. Mordechai, just bow down to Haman. What's the big deal? So Rav Levi Amar Lahem Mordechai. Mordechai told them, Lo od ela shani is tagrinan shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. I am an officer of the king. I represent a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shekol ha-shvatim noldu b'chutz la'aretz. Every single one of Yaakov's children was born in Chutz La'aretz, in Galus. Who's a Keni, but my grandfather, who is his grandfather? Binyamin. Be'eretz Yisrael. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. I'm an Eretz Yisrael Jew. I don't bow down. I don't bow down to other people. I was born in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know what I represent? Do you know who I am? Do you know where I come from? I don't bow down to the nations of the world. The Maharal, there again, elaborates. Va'od, ki hu nolad be'eretz Yisrael. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. Shemizet tira ki hu shachin al Hashem Yisbarach. He was a friend. He was a neighbor of Hashem. If you're born in Eretz Yisrael, you're a neighbor of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't take Eretz Yisrael out of him, because the Shechina is with him. Va'od Amar Mordechai. Mordechai said, Yizekeni Nolad Baretz. My grandfather was born in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'elu Shar Shvatim Noldu B'chutz Laretz. And the other Shvatim were born in Galus. Umizet Talmud Ki Binyamin Hu Chelek Hashem Yisparach. Binyamin is a portion of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Ki kol ha'aratzos heim l'umos asher heim eina mechalek Shem Yisparach. All the other lands are not really, so to speak, in the chelek of Hashem. Rak Eretz Yisrael hu l'chelek Hashem Yisparach. Only Eretz Yisrael, our Eretz Yisrael, that belongs to the Jewish people, that's where a Kaddish Baruch Hu is. L'kach amru, it says in Ksuvas, hadar b'chutz la'aretz k'mish ein la'eloka. One who lives outside of Israel, it's as if you have no God. But Eretz Yisrael who call Hashem Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is a special land for Hashem. V'shar ratzos v'dei shehem l'umos. The other lands belong to the Goyim. V'sarim el yonim moshlim aleim, and Malachim and other celestial beings control the other worlds. L'fichach neshav kilu ein l'eloka. Because when you live in Eretz Yisrael, says the Maharal, you have a direct line to Hashem. The phone line is connected directly. When you live in Chutz La'aretz, you have to go through an intermediary. There's a Malach that represents America and Mexico and Canada and Guatemala and Italy and France and Spain and Germany, all those other countries. There's a Malach that watches over those lands. But when you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's no intermediary. There's nobody in between. It's you and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and that's it. You're a neighbor of Hashem. You belong to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And therefore, that's what the Maharal says is the power of Mordechai. He's an Eretz Yisrael Jew. In Eretz Yisrael Jew, he's not going to bow down to Haman. Haman's a piece of garbage. He's a lowly nothing. I should bow down to him? So I come from Eretz Yisrael. I'm the neighbor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this all comes down now to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says in Bamidbar Rabbah, an interesting fact, they're two wealthiest people in the history of the world. Who were they? Echad Meyisrael v'Echad Meyimus'olam. One was a Jew, one was a guy. Both of them not so great guys. Korach Yisrael. Korach was the wealthiest Jew of all time. That's a different parsha. But Haman Mumas Olam, and Haman came from the Goyim. Haman was the wealthiest person in the history of the world. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Ulechote Nasan Inyan La'asof L'Tanos, Zeh Haman. Oops. So the Gemara in Megillah says, Ulechote Nasan Inyan La'asof L'Tanos, Zeh Haman. Nasan L'Seis L'Fnei Elokim, Zeh Mordechai V'Esther, Dichsiv, V'Tasim Esther's Mordechai L'Beis Haman. The making of Haman, the wealthiest person in the world, was only a setup for what? So that when Haman would be removed from his position, says the Gemara, Mordechai would then take over his household, and then Mordechai would then have the money that he would need. These two Mamari Chazal fit with a fascinating medrash. There's a Sefer medrash called the Medrash Abba Gurion, which is a medrash on Megillas Esther. Listen to what the medrash says. Achara Dvarim Ha'ela, Hirhure Dvarim Hayasham. The following thought was there. Amar Achashverosh Hiro. Achashverosh was thinking, Amar Mordechai Zeh, Ani Choshev Lo Tova. Mordechai is a good guy. But Yoshev Kan Mevakrish Levinos Beis HaMikdash. But he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash. He's hacking me at Shinek every day. Let's build the Beis HaMikdash. We have to build the Beis HaMikdash. We should start building the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. We should start fundraising the Beis HaMikdash. He's bothering me every day about the Beis HaMikdash. Levnosi Avshar. I'm not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, says Achashverosh. That's bad for me. It's bad for my, you know, my system. It's not going to be good news for my country. Definitely no Beis HaMikdash. Ella Harein Megara Abo Es Haman V'Yezeh Bona V'Zeh Soser. So fine, I'll tell him yes, but Haman will come and destroy it. Haman will ruin all of his plans. But Chacham say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hirar. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other thoughts as well while this was going on. And therefore he says, Amar Mordechai Zetzanik Gamor. Mordechai Zetzanik. Who im notel prokofafi yavo haman v'yisagal mamon v'yavo Mordechai litol mamon v'yabar beis hamikdash. So says Hashem, let's make Haman very wealthy, and we're going to get around Achashverosh. Achashverosh is going to do whatever he can to stop the building of beis hamikdash. So let's give all the wealth to Haman. Let's have Haman fall, and then all the money is going to go to Mordechai, and Mordechai will say, thank you, Achashverosh. I don't need your money. We're fine. I can build the Beis HaMikdash myself. And the Maharal drives this point home as well. Ki ma'achash Achashverosh gadlos Mordechai. Once Achashverosh raises Mordechai up, v'davar zesiba she'ed nivna Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh didn't know what he was doing. Achashverosh thought he was rewarding Mordechai and giving him a prize for what happened with Haman and all the things beforehand. But Ahasuerus didn't realize that by putting Mordechai on a pedestal and making him now in charge of all this wealth, he was handing him the keys to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ki perusho kasher haya Mordechai yoshev b'shar hamelech. When Mordechai was sitting at the gates of the king, v'roi libnos Beis HaMikdash b'shvil zeh, k'dei sheyetzei l'pol dover zeh gadol melech as haman, v'yamasef osher gadol. He gathered all of his wealth. V'yikach Mordechai sekol. In the end, Mordechai ends up with all the money. V'yabnivna Beis HaMikdash. Mordechai financed and paid for the building of Beis HaMikdash, thanks and courtesy of Haman. Which is really thanks to Ahasuerus, who tried to stop the building, but really ended up paying for the whole thing. One of the classical questions on the Megillah is why Mordechai decided to save Ahasuerus from the plans of Bigthan and Teresh, right? His wife or daughter or niece, however you want to translate the Megillah, is now captive in the palace of Ahasuerus. And he overhears the plans of these two hooligans to go and assassinate the king, right? And he hears that he could potentially stop it as well. Why didn't Mordechai let them kill Ahasuerus? Because if Ahasuerus would then be killed, what would happen? What would happen? Hello? Esther would go free. Ahasuerus would be dead, and Esther would go free. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he take advantage of the opportunity? Every day Ahasuerus roamed Mordechai roamed the palace gates, worried and concerned about the well-being of Esther. He would have been thrilled to have his wife, daughter, niece, whatever you want to say, come out of captivity. Listen to the Yalkut Shimoni. Ela Amar Mordechai Mutav Zeh Shiyichya Shinasan Li Rishus Levnos Beis HaMikdash. I can tell, he says, that if Esther is in the palace, it will allow the future building of the Beis HaMikdash. Every decision in the Megillah, which is what I want us to see tonight, every decision in the Megillah is, how are the Jews going to build the Beis HaMikdash and get back to Eretz Yisrael? Every turn is a decision. Will this be good for building the Beis HaMikdash, or will it not be good for building the Beis HaMikdash? But why is that a reasonable response? How can the suffix of building the Beis HaMikdash override, you know, getting Esther out? The answer has to be the Amunah Shlema, the complete belief and understanding of Mordechai that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. It was so clear to him that he would see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in his lifetime. Look at the words of the Esther Rabbah. Mordechai v'chol yom v'yom Mordechai misal chenei chatzar Beis HaNashim. Every single day Mordechai would go before the palace of the king, or where Esther was being held captive. Amar Esher l'tzadeik azos tishnasei arel. He's told himself, this tzadeik is going to marry this loser? This king is disgusting. She's going to marry him? Elisha asid davar gadol she'er alal Yisrael asidim li'nasal yadah. It must be, says Mordechai, that this is going to lead to something that's going to save the Jewish people and bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. How long did this go on for, by the way? How long did Mordechai stay outside the palace gates till something happened? 9 years. 9 years. He sat there going back and forth until he carried out the Yeshua. The third year of the reign of Ahasuerus, Esther was taken. Until the 12th year, when the miracle happened, every day Mordechai went to the Chatzar Melech. For 9 years, he did the same thing, day in, day out, preparing, hoping for Yeshua to come back to Eretz Yisrael. You know how many days that is? It's 3,200 days of doing and hoping for the same thing. The Megillah is built on the deep, deep desire of Binyan Beis HaMikdash and the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Bigthan and Teresh never carried out their plans. Because that was the whole focus of the story, to get back to Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash and to make the land ours once again. The Gemara in Megillah relates in Daf Tesvav another point. The Gemara says, Vayomer lo hamelech l'Esther hamalka mabekash aseich ad chatzi hamalchus ta'asa. What do you want, my beloved Esther? I will give you up to half the kingdom. Chatzi hamalchus will call hamalchus. Ahasuerus is not so dumb. I'll give you half the kingdom, but not the whole kingdom. Below davar shechotzeitz the malchus. I will not give you something that will divide my kingdom. Umayhu, what is that? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Ahasuerus, the whole time, is trying to stop one thing and one thing only, and that is the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And no matter what Ahasuerus' schemes are, his planning and his developing and his trying to overcome anything to not build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is moving the pieces to make sure that we will come back to Eretz Yisrael and to have that temple rebuilt once again. Why did the building matter to someone who controlled the whole world? One building? What are you so let the Jews build the Beis HaMikdash. He has literally everything else. What's the big deal if we build the Beis HaMikdash? Because even Achashverosh knew that the Beis HaMikdash is the source of all of the koach of Am Yisrael. It is the focus of all of our tefillos, because the Beis HaMikdash allows us to connect to Hashem and brings our closest to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and puts us on a plane that we cannot even imagine of Kedusha that is so far beyond our ability to fathom. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Amru lo, miyom shechara Beis HaMikdash, megalino me'artzeinu, from the time we have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and we were sent into exile from our lands. Nit la'etza mimena, we have no ability to give good advice. Bein ani yodim ladun din nefashos, we cannot deal with difficult questions. Zil legabi amon moav, go to other nations. B'yasve b'duchtayu, they are settled in their land. K'cham rav yasav b'dudayu, they will be able to answer your question. The Jewish people were weakened without the Beis HaMikdash. We're not full if we don't have Eretz Yisrael and we don't have a rebuilt temple. The Maral elaborates here again. The Beis HaMikdash is the main thing of our kingship. When we have the Beis HaMikdash, that would end the kingship of Achashverosh. The whole purpose of the suit of Achashverosh was to seal the deal that we would not be redeemed anymore, and we would not have Eretz Yisrael. But our Malchus, when we have a Jewish government and a Jewish kingship, that will stop the Goyim. And therefore he says until half the kingdom. Not the whole Malchus. Because the whole Malchus is the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, says the Maral, then we have a government, we have a land. And we have a Malchus, a full Malchus of the Beis HaMikdash, then all of the nations of the world become nullified before the Jewish people. So we see from beginning to the middle and the end, the entire Megillah, says the Maharal and say Chazal, is one step after step, slugging through after 9 years, after 70 years of Galus, to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and to bring us back to rebuild Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the way we celebrate our holiday is also circling around the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says in Megillah, that's why we don't say Hal on Purim. Why don't we say Hal on Purim? Because the miracle happened outside the land of Israel. We only say Hal for miracles that happen inside the land of Israel. Pesach is its own discussion as well. Chanukah we say Halal. Yom HaAtzmaut we say Halal. That's when we say Hal for things that happen in Eretz Yisrael. That's the appropriate way. But a holiday that does not bring a full Geula outside of Galus, no matter how great it was, it's not a real celebration until we have the Jewish people back in Eretz Yisrael. Because of the nature of the miracle, we give extra kabbah to Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Rambam and Hilchos Megillah in Perek Aleph. Kol Medina Shehaisa Mukefes Chom Emei Yeshua Ben Nun. Any country that was surrounded by walls in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. Bein Be'eretz, Bein Mechutz La'aretz. Whether in the land of Israel, whether outside the land of Israel. Even if there's no wall right now, they read the Megillah on what we call Shushan Purim, the 15th of Adar. V'lama talu adavra b'yemei Yehoshua. Why is the demarcation of what is considered a walled city not from the days of Mordechai and Esther? Shouldn't the demarcation be from the days of when the miracle occurred? Why are we so obsessed? What does Yehoshua ben Nun have to do with the story of Purim? The answer is he has absolutely nothing to do with the story of Purim, says the Rambam. Kedei l'chaluk kavod le'eretz Yisrael. It is all a form to give honor to Eretz Yisrael. Shehai sechar v'baos hazman, which was destroyed at that time. Kadeshu korim b'nei Shushan. We should follow the people of Shushan. Yizichron Eretz Yisrael b'nei sezeh. The whole method of reading is one giant zikaron, one giant remembrance that Eretz Yisrael is where we're supposed to be. Simply incredible. The defensive war of Purim that took place in the Malchus was on the 13th of Adar. The Yontif of Purim was observed as on the 14th of Adar. The Shushan Purim of Yontif was observed on the 15th of Adar, because the war was on the 14th before. And the halach applies to all walled cities from the days of Yeshua and Ben-Yun. And we use a measuring stick of Eretz Yisrael in how we observe the holiday of Purim. Because the center point and the oxygen of the Jewish people is Am Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, learning Torah's Eretz Yisrael. That is what it's all about. And that is what the Purim story is bringing us to, step after step. It's difficult. It's complicated. It weaves through a maze that's hard to understand sometimes. But every step from the beginning to the end is one long maze to bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. Shortly after the end of the Purim story, In 3406, Ahasuerus dies, and he was succeeded by his son Darius II, a Jewish son, to his wife Esther Amalka. 2 years later, in 3408, the Jews are given permission to resume work on the Beis HaMikdash, exactly 70 years after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the true interpretation of the 70-year Nevuah of Yirmiyahu and Daniel. And that really is the conclusion of Megillas Esther. The unwritten conclusion of Megillas Esther is that the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt and the Jewish people returned there. And that's really the story of Purim and the eventual rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, to review from the beginning, the Megillah begins with the celebration of Ahasuerus of the Jewish people giving up on Eretz Yisrael. That's the sad beginning of the story. We gave up. We gave up. Everything is about Ahasuerus. We have no desire to go back there. And the calculation reveals the 70 years we're counting to the Bein Beis HaMikdash. And the party of Ahasuerus was the downfall of Vashti, from which would lead to the appointment of Esther, who would become the mother of Daryavas, the future king who would allow the return to Eretz Yisrael, and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's all what it leads to. And Ahasuerus tried to avoid the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but when he elevated Haman to his position, he actually elevated the possibility to pay for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash as well. And the beginning of the Megillah starts with the desecration of the Galus of Am Yisrael, and the Gula would come through Mordechai, the great Israeli citizen who didn't bow down to the nations. And to remember that our being saved, the Chacham set the halachas to remind us of the chashivas and the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. We are in a time right now where it's very hard to feel that we should not bow down to the nations of the world. They should set the tone how we should fight in Eretz Yisrael. They should set the tone how we should support our enemies in Eretz Yisrael, the people who tried to murder us and are still trying to murder us. We feel, okay, so we'll capitulate, we'll give in, we'll deal with the Goyim, we'll see what they'll do, what they want to do. And Mordechai tells us, what are you doing? Why are you bowing down to them? For what reason? Eretz Yisrael is greater than any senator, it's greater than any politician, it's greater than any king, it's greater than any prime minister. Eretz Yisrael is much bigger than all of that. And that's the story of Purim. Eretz Yisrael is the focus of what we're doing. So over the course of the next 24 hours, we want to celebrate Purim, b'simcha. We want to celebrate Purim, kedas v'kedin, according to the halachos. We cannot have a hesach hadas for one moment what Purim's story is about. The return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, a free Am Yisrael, and a free Eretz Yisrael, and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Be'ezus Hashem. Freyach and Purim. Thank you.